preach Sunday morning on redeemed from the curse of the law, and you can kick it on, Beth. And I was meditating on that a little bit today and this afternoon, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, there is a lot of my people that don't even know that the curse is working. He said, his people. How many knows the Bible says that his people perish from lack of knowledge, lack of knowing, you know. Not knowing some things can cost you in the things of the kingdom. But God is faithful. God is faithful to me and you. When we give our life to him, he's faithful to begin. I was thinking about generational curses, you know, that are handed down, that tries to come down from generation to generation. But how many knows we've been redeemed from any generational curses that have even been handed down in our families? We've been redeemed from it. And so I thought about that today. I thought, you know, generational curses, when I felt like they were working in my life, when I found out that they were such a thing. They were in the Bible, handed down from generation to generation. But God is always faithful to us, you know. And I could just hear the Lord, in my spirit saying, Satan tells some of my people that they're not worthy, that they're not, you know, just like him trying to beat up on Sandy, you know, and all of that stuff, you know, when we make moves for the Lord, or when you set out to go deeper in God, and you set out to do what you know his will is, and you're going to have some resistance from the enemy and the flesh sometimes. My flesh really didn't want to sacrifice some of the things that God told me. And I'm not talking about giving up bad things. I'm talking about, you know, sacrifices that we make for the Lord. But when we do that, that is our love for the Lord. And the Bible says, love the Lord with all of our heart, mind, strength, and body. And love our neighbors, ourselves. When we do that, when we're loving God, see, we automatically start operating on the commanded blessing. How many knows Deuteronomy says he will command his blessing on us? Command it. When God commands light to be, what happened? Boom! I mean, when God told Moses to put his rod out and the Red Sea rolled back, I mean, whatever God tells us to do, we have the power to operate in it. But we have to keep our mind out of the way. That's why when our mind is stayed on the Lord, the Bible says, he'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on the Lord. He says, because he's trusting in me. You know, so a lot of people, you know, a lot of God's people, and that's why I believe God has given us a voice all over the world. You know, and opened up YouTube to us. And I mean, we have YouTube. You can go listen to the sermons on YouTube, different things. And it's not so that we can be popular. I don't care who it is. I mean, everybody that's got a right spirit that preaches the gospel, they got one purpose in mind, and that's to do the will of God. And that's to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And then when we get a heart after God, you know, ourselves, you know, and maybe we're not even called into ministry, the enemy is going to try to keep you from operating in the blessing. The blessing, the Bible says in Proverbs 10:22, it says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. The blessing that he's talking about, if you study it out in Proverbs 10:22, it simply boils down to an empowerment from the Lord to be successful. Successful where you work. Successful, you know, I mean, I've been in the garage door business about 30 years, almost 30 years this year, sometime I think. And I've always endeavored to do the will of the Lord, you know, the way I am and the way I present myself and talk and do business and all of that. Because I was praying and I was thinking about it, I was thinking how much of an angry guy that I was before I got saved, and then how that God began to deal with those issues that were destroying my life, my marriage and everything up in my family and even friends, you know, and how quickly God began once I give my heart to Jesus. See, I didn't know that I had entered into a covenant with God through Jesus Christ. But how many knows we entered into a covenant? And He don't break covenant. God is not a covenant-breaking God. But you know, I began to find out about the blessing. Well, for 30 years, you know, and I would come and ask the Lord and go out just every day and say, God, You're going to increase me more and more. You're going to bless me. And I'd plead the blood of Jesus over it. I'd plead the blood of Jesus over our business. And I would believe to be led by the Spirit of God, you know, which way we go, where I sail, and all of that. I mean, that's Proverbs 3, see. These things are set out in here so that He can lead us into the blessing. The blessing is not a car, it's not a house, and that's results of it. That's results of the empowerment of God. That's the results of God commanded blessing on His people, and it came to us and began to work in our life through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the way. He is the way to a good life. But anyways, I unloaded the truck yesterday, and this guy that hadn't delivered to us but 3 or 4 times or whatever, And they didn't deliver some of my stuff, you know, and I'm sitting there and I want to come unglued, you know. I mean, because I've got doors set today that messed that up, and, you know, and these doors have been waiting a long time, and the dude's getting anxious, you know, and all of that stuff. But how many knows the Bible tells me and you don't be anxious for nothing? Don't be over anxious. Don't be all excited about it, you know. Why? Because, see, now if you do that, the blessing can't work. Wisdom can't come to you because you've just cut it off in your mind and all of that, and it's just bad and just whatever the case might be. Well, I didn't, you know, and I'm sitting there. They wouldn't answer the phone, you know, because they're charging me for them, but they back ordered them, you know, And so I'm sitting there, you know, and I tried to call, and he said, well, call this one. And I called that one. I said, that's the way they are. They're not going to answer. I said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I said, I pulled out my phone, and I pulled my calculator out, and I said, they want a check, and I'm not paying for something I didn't get. So I deducted it, wrote them a check, and poof, left them a little note on there, blah, 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 you know, and sent it on. And I told that dude, he said, man, that's enough to make you mad. I said, there ain't nobody can make me mad. Come on, somebody. Your mind got to be made up. I'm going to show you why in just a minute. The Apostle Paul says, the Holy Spirit told him this and this. He said, but none of these things move me. And see, we have that ability, the blessing, the commanded blessing of the Lord, Jesus. And in and through Him, I'll show you in just a minute, you know, this blessing is in our life. But you know, we can choose to operate in the curse, get angry, blow up, get mad, quit. We're operating under that fallen state then. But over here in this side, we say we know that He works all things together for the good. And we keep on, like Samantha was talking about. We keep on, and when things begin to get rough, we just begin to fast. Come on, somebody. We just begin to fast, and we just begin to get before the Lord. We just begin to declare what this Bible has already said, because we have been put in a place of authority. Give me that scripture again, Beth. I think it's Romans 5:17, we covered that Sunday morning. It says, she had that up there, Proverbs, didn't she? For by one man's offense death reigned, talking about Adam, by one much more, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, which is Jesus, shall reign in life by Jesus Christ. He said that those that receive the gift, which was Jesus, And when we give our heart to Him, we were made righteous right then. People can look at us and we're not perfect and say they're not righteous. They don't know. They don't know what righteousness is. They think that righteousness is you don't have any flaws and you don't have any faults and all of that stuff. No, that will bring that in our life. Our walk will walk out that righteousness. I mean, it will begin to walk out in our life. But the minute we get born again, we were made righteous. That's right, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, the word reign there, I looked it up today in the Greek. It says, through the notion of a foundation of power. Reign means our foundation, which is Jesus, chief cornerstone. In Him we have life, breathe, move, and have our being. The Bible says that our life is hid in God through Him. Hid in God. I mean, that's powerful. He said, it says that through the notion of a foundation of power, it says, like a sovereign king. You know, a king, he rules. I mean, just in the natural realm, you got, you know, our president. That's about the highest level I can think of right now. But, you know, I mean, he's in the highest authority on this planet. That's what we've been put in. It says, as a notion of our foundation of power. And Jesus, the scripture all backs it up through there. Jesus said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, right? And nothing by any means will harm you, right? Jesus told the disciples, and we are the disciples now, He said, go in my name, go in my authority. The Bible says if they had known, they would not have crucified the King of Glory. If they had known that me and you were going to be in ranking under Jesus today, and that He was going to spread like wildfire, when they killed Him, they wouldn't have killed Him. Satan thought he was winning. I mean, sent him out to kill Jesus. But God took care of Jesus. Did you know God took care of Moses, which was the type of Jesus? How many knows today He'll take care of us? But we've been redeemed from the curse that was under the law. We're not under the law anymore. I'm going to show you here in a minute. We're here to reign. We've been redeemed from spiritual poverty. You know, when I started finding out some things about, finances, Jesus talked about money all through the 3 years that He was here on this planet. Jesus talked about money. Jesus paid taxes. His taxes and Peter's. Out of a fish. I mean, He can do miracles in our taxes, thank God. You know, I mean, I really thank God that I've got Jesus concerning my taxes. Praise God. You know, I mean, if I didn't, I mean, the more I make, the more they get. What's the use? But you know what? I always go back to the scripture. See, Jesus said all this stuff because once we get in Him, now we are not under that curse. He will supply. He will heal. He will come through. He'll bring you through. He'll bring breakthroughs. He'll bring healing when you need healing. You might have to walk through some things and stand on His word and His faithfulness, but bless God, His word don't fail. The Bible says, by Jesus' stripes ye were healed. The doctor may give you this report or that, but you've been redeemed from sickness and disease. You've been redeemed from oppression. You've been redeemed from anger. You've been redeemed from holding grudges through Him and in Him, hallelujah. And freedom, He brings freedom. Where the Spirit, we allow the Spirit of the Lord in our life. I know we think that's just at church. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. But no, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. I mean, it is here, but it's in our personal life. It's like Monty when he's going through. And I mean, you know, I mean, going to do Sunday school. We're going to learn. We're going to have to learn God's ways. I mean, there's many times that I've come and I told Monty, I said, that it's not a shock, wasn't a shock to me that you're attacked. I've stood up here, you know, and felt like, man, I'm going to have a heart attack before I get through preaching. But I'm going to preach. I'm anointed for it. And you know what? Have those symptoms and then they just leave you when you get to where you're. I had flu attacked me one time. And I was preaching on the streets of Onyana, working a full-time job then, and preaching on the streets of Onyana. And this one afternoon, I was so sick till, you know, I didn't want to pull my work clothes off because my body felt sore, you know. I mean, just really, really had flu symptoms and fever and all of that stuff, you know, praise God. And I mean, I thought, I got to call the service off, you know, and I thought I got to get somebody down, you know, and I thought I can't never see where Jesus called off one of his preaching teaching sessions. Praise God. And I went on, and I spoke to my body, and I said, God, I thank you in your word. I'd never really experienced healing until this point. I hadn't been saved about 5 or 6 months, and I started learning that you had the voice healing. You know, had to speak the thing. Call those things be not as though they are. Don't call yourself sick. I don't care if a doctor gives you a report. Don't deny that it's there. You know, that's not really faith. You know, don't deny it's there. If it says it's there, well, it's there. But don't allow it. Don't give it a right to stay. Don't give it a right to bear fruit. Don't give it a right, because it has no right. Anything that is not in line with God's word that tries to come into our life is against the law of God. God's give it to us. But anyways, I went on, you know, and I got ready and everything, praise God. And on the way down there, I said, Lord, I thank you right now. I've already been healed over 2,000 years ago when you hung on that cross and you went to that whipping post and you took it for me. And I was healed whenever it was sealed in your blood on the cross when you said, it is finished. I said, and I receive it right now in the name of Jesus. And I spoke to my body, and I said, I command you to loose me and let me go in the name of Jesus. This body is the temple of God, and you're alien. You can't stay in this body. Praise God. And I went on. Nothing changed at that moment. And I went on, praise God, and I set everything up and everything, set the stage up. And the minute that I stepped up onto that platform that I had to preach on the streets of Onyana, I'm talking about, it hit me, and I never had another symptom. And so I learned, I was like, glory to God, this doing this thing is great, man. I mean, it's great. And so I tell Satan, go ahead, try it again. Whatever you want to do, homie. I've already been healed over 2,000 years. See, that's what the Bible talks about in 1 Timothy 6:12. You find out what the Word says about things in your life, in your finances, in your marriage, and everything. You find out the will of God, and then you start using your faith. 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. The faith fight is a good fight. And the faith fight is not always feelings. It is. Faith comes by hearing God's word. It's in here, but it will produce feelings. I'm not saying that it won't always have feelings either. Not have feelings. Sometimes it does. Sometimes you just read it and you're like, oh, yeah, yeah, glory to God. And then there's other times you read it and you're like, oh, yeah, I'm going on to preach anyways. And then it works. Give me that... Give me the Galatians 3, please, Beth. So you're reigning. You're in a place of authority. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, that's me and you, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, that's me and you, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying. Now, this is the gospel. People say that the gospel is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's not so. This he preached the gospel to Abraham. He said, and he that through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. That was the gospel preached to Abraham before Jesus got here. We came from the seed of Abraham. Through Jesus was the descendant of Abraham. And now we are like Abraham. And he says, and in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Somebody say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Hallelujah. I mean, you got to believe that. It says it. I didn't say it. He did. And it's mine. And I'm blessed. I'm already coming up on a good quarter financially already. I jumped out into the new year believing God to do above and beyond what He did last year to increase me more and more. Praise God. And you got to lay hold of it too. That He'll increase you. That you'll come out the end of this year and you'll be like, woo, yeah, hallelujah. See, I used to have a problem getting money to do something with it. Now my problem is I got some and I need to figure out what to do with it. Come on, somebody, you can go. He takes us from faith to faith and from glory to glory. I mean, you got a bad problem when you ain't got enough money to pay your bills, and you got to keep your mind off all that. And then all your bills gets paid and everything gets paid off and God's doing what He says. Then you got so much, you're like, oh my God, that's a problem too. Trying to figure out what you need to do with it. Do you bury it? Do you put it in CD? Prosperity happens that way. That's why you got to get prepared and walk in the Word and develop as He takes you up into an abundance where you got wisdom to take care of that abundance. He's taking you through this year. This year is going to be a year you can be better off financially. You can be better off spiritually. The Lord spoke to me one time, dropped it in my spirit. He said, you never, because I heard this guy, and every time, every now and then, you would hear him say, and I would hear the church say, because I was evangelizing, I'd hear people get up and testify, I'm just going through dry places right now. I'm just going through the wilderness. You know, and then I heard one guy, you're going to have 10-day, tribulations, and I mean, you're going to be in that desert, that dry place. And everything. And I mean, I'm hearing all this and I'm like, gosh, man, y'all are depressing me. I don't want that. But anyhow, the Lord carried me to spirit. The Lord told me, He said, you never have to be dry spiritually. And I thought, I've never heard that. And I said, well, I need scripture for that, Lord. And I knew it was God. I felt like it was. And he told this woman at the well, He told her, if you drink of that water, you're going to thirst again. She said, but if you drink of this one, she said, you ain't even got nothing to draw the water out of with. He said, if you drink that water, you'll thirst again. He said, but if you drink that water that I give you, hallelujah. And the Lord spoke and reminded me of that scripture. He said, you will never, He told her, you'll never thirst again. You'll never be dry again. And so the Lord reminded me of that scripture and I went to that scripture. And then there's another one. It says, draw out of the wells of salvation. And I said, hey, Lord. I said, this is contrary to what all your people are saying. He said, they just don't have knowledge of what my word says right here. Has not been preached to them. They've not heard it because faith in me in that comes through you preaching it. He said, so I want you to go about preaching. He said, test it out. So every time I feel like I'm going through, I begin to pray and draw out of the wells of salvation. The only time I get dry is when I don't drink, spiritually speaking. The only time you get dry is when you cut off preaching and you don't pray, and when you get down, you don't really feel like, hearing a good sermon and you don't click it on y'all like you used to. And you got tired of fasting and you ain't fasted for about a month and all of that stuff. And praise God. And then you will. But it won't be because you're getting into a trial. It won't be because, you go through dry places. There's no scripture in the New Testament to back that up, praise God. He said, and the Lord told me, He said, you never have to be dry spiritually. Why would He do me like that? Why would He dry me up spiritually? When He knows good and well I can't do nothing without Him. Don't the Bible say, without Him we can do nothing? He wouldn't do me like that. He wouldn't do you like that. He wouldn't cut off the spiritual faucet to teach you anything. He'd rather just send the Holy Spirit like He did her. Now see, she's watching Sister Wise. They talk about God on there too, but he ain't in none of that. They can believe that lie if they want to. But anyways, that's grieving her spirit. That's why she felt awful. That was grieving her spirit. It wasn't God cut her off. She's drinking from the wrong well. Drinking from the wrong well. See, I can't drink from the well of thoughts from the enemy that things are not going to get better. I can't listen to thoughts instead of turning to the Word like Monty taught us in Sunday school. Then he had to do it right after Sunday school. Monday, you had to do it, right? Well, that's great. He did it, and here it goes. Here it goes. Things begin to happen for him. See, that's why the Bible says in James, be doers of the Word and not hearers only. And you know what? I didn't complain. Anyhow, back to that guy thinking about this scripture, that guy that unloaded the truck. I told him, I said, they can't nobody make me mad. I said, the only time I've ever had anybody ask me is I was mad. I said, I was at the bank doing a transaction, and I was serious. I said, and she looked at me and said, are you mad? And I said, I turned around and I pointed. I said, I had your Harley out there. I'd rode a Harley. And anyways, I said, see that Harley out there? Oh, yeah, I see it. I said, if you see me walk out of this bank and you see flames, that Harley burning, I said, you'll know I'm mad. I said, I'm not mad. I'm just serious. And I was telling that guy that, you know, and he said, well, you know, I have heard, buddy, you know, down in these parts, you're the man. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, everybody up north up there, and they talk about you, and you're doing all the doors down here. Well, they'll sub two or three companies. If they have any problems, you know, I'll deal with the problems because they buy from the same company I do, so, and they think I'm a miracle. I'm a blessing, that's right. Now, I'm saying that, not bragging. I'm like, Monty, I'm not bragging on me. I remember when the Lord said, your gift will make room for you if you follow me, and it'll take you before great men. It won't take you before broke men and broke people, but it'll take you, and at that time, I mean, I'm a little over minimum wage. I'm working at a job where if you asked for a raise, he'd fire you nearly. And when you got a raise, it was 10 cents an hour. Every 3 years, four maybe. but you know what? I started on that. Now I was finding out that I've been redeemed from the curse. I found out through the Word and through preaching that I was redeemed from the curse. It says, for as many of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are in the book of the law to do them. Talking about the Ten Commandments and different things. I'm not anti-Ten Commandment. Jesus said, I come not to destroy the law, to do away with it. But I come that it might be fulfilled through me. Now the love command here comes in. We're to love our neighbors ourselves. Love. We'll just read it. It says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, for it is evidence. For the just shall live by what? Faith. Not a bunch of rules and regulations. By the leading of the Holy Spirit. Just like she felt like God was speaking to her. She got up and she felt bad. And God was saying, you need to do away with that. It wasn't that God was upset or angry. That was the leading of the Holy Spirit that was leading her into the blessing. Where she could live by faith instead of live by, I feel awful. Oh, I feel awful. Oh, my God, I feel awful. Where is Jesus? Now, you got to hang on to the Word when you feel like that He'll never leave you or never forsake you. He's right there with you. Even when you do feel that those things and you don't understand, you got to know that God is right there in you. He's with you. He's for you. He's not against you. Then he was just leading her to up. That's all. See, now we live by faith. And the law is not of faith. The man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us. Somebody say, I'm redeemed. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Why? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, that's me and you, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promised Spirit through the faith. Somebody told me, well, that was for the Jews. I said, no. I said, it was till they rejected him. I said, he went to his own in Isaiah, and his own received him not. Then he turned to the Gentiles. Gentiles, nations without God, that was us. And we was grafted in, the Scripture says. But he says that the blessing of Abraham might come on thee. What did he tell Abraham? That's right. He told him, he said, look at the sand. Look at the stars. He said, I'm going to multiply you greater than that. He said, I'm going, and you follow Abraham and Jacob and Isaac and all them, and God blessed them. He blessed them spiritually. He blessed them, he blessed them to where they just kept increasing and getting stronger. The enemy envied them at one time because God was with them. But he says here that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus. And it's come to us. Hallelujah. I covered Sunday morning. You know, you can go to Deuteronomy. Now, I majored on Deuteronomy for, months and months. Every day, every morning, Monday through Friday, I read Deuteronomy 28. And I would tell the Lord, Lord, I'm going to hearken to the voice, your voice, so that all these blessings will come on me and overtake me like you told them through Jesus Christ, because I found this out, that through Jesus, all of Deuteronomy 28 was coming on and commanded on the body of Christ that would believe. This thing is because of our faith now. That's why everybody don't experience God's goodness the way God wants to. That's why everybody don't experience. I asked the Lord one time, I said, Lord, that was a good Christian that died with cancer. What chance have we all got? He said, she wasn't believing. He said, you got to lay hold of what Jesus did. He said, you got to believe. You got to meditate on the Word. He said, she didn't know. She loved Jesus with all of her heart, with the heaven. With the heaven, I knew she was a good Christian, but she didn't know nothing about fighting a good fight of faith. She didn't know nothing about, she'd heard by Jesus' stripes she were healed, but she'd never heard, what are you doing with what you're hearing? Be doers of the Word. Be embracers of 1 Peter 2:24, that by Jesus' stripes I am healed. That's mine. Be a doer, be an embracer of Psalms 91, where he says, no plague will come nigh your dwelling. Only with your eyes will you see the reward of the wicked. We can see the reward of the wicked, but it's not for us. Deuteronomy 28, go study it. The blessing that come on you. And the last part of Deuteronomy 28 is the curse of the law that we've been redeemed from, that is operating in this earth because it came through disobedience. One man, death reigned, but one man by one man, Jesus, we'll all reign through him, right? So that is still down here operating for those that are not operating in Jesus Christ. That's why we do our best to get people born again, get them to church, and I'm full 199.9% positive that church will change a person's life if they have given their heart to Jesus and get under the anointed teaching and begin to do something with it. Now, I didn't really know all that. It's just I started doing it. You know, praise God, we reading the Bible, me and Teresa, as much as possible, and didn't really know a whole lot about fasting until we went to that church. It talked about fasting. And they'd have the whole church to fast at times, And I would take Monday, and somebody would take Tuesday. We fasted 24 hours a day for months at a time because we had over 200-something people in there. And then I would be like, well, I'm going to fast with them, I'll take this day, but I'm going to get in there with them and fast that day and praise the Lord and hallelujah. And you know what? I believe, because I have lived a pretty good fasted lifestyle, not law, under grace, through faith believing God, that my sacrifices to Him, praise God, will bring results, see. Your sacrifice will never outweigh the blessing. The blessing will always outweigh your sacrifices for the Lord. Well, anyways, Anyways, I saw all kinds of things happen. I'll tell you one story. You know, I was fasting. I didn't know, you know, drink water or nothing. I just thought, man, if you're going to go on a fast. I mean, nobody had ever taught me. I just knew fasting was abstaining from food. So I figured water was in there too, you know. Just don't eat nothing. So I'm on my third day in the middle of July, and I'm in this house, and I'm toting sheetrock. And I looked out, man, and my lips had done cracked open, you know, dry. I mean, I'm dry as a bone, dude. You know, and I looked out there, and the block layers had gone to lunch, and they forgot, and they was filling the barrel up, you know, with water. And I looked down there, and that barrel was running over on the ground. I mean, I thought, man, I ought to just dive off head first into that 55-gallon barrel and just suck her dry, you know. But I thought to myself, nah, this is what dying to the flesh is right here. This is what dying to the flesh is, praise God. I thought, nah, I'll not touch that water in Jesus' name till the time that I set my heart to do it and told the Lord, I'm going to go this far right here, Lord. You know, and I thought, this is what dying to the flesh. I was killing that flesh, man. Ooh, he was dying. But I'm telling you, praise God, I'd take offerings to the church and I'd believe God for raises and different things. When I quit, when I went in business, this was about 6 months later, but when I went in business for myself, I had been raised up to the point to where I was making right under my brother that he had been there for 30 years. I've been working here with him for a long time. And they had to work a half a day on Saturday. And I'm taking offerings to the Lord, boy, and I'm seeing things happen, you know, and everything, you know, and praise God. And I thought, glory to God. And I thought, God, you got to get me out of here to prosper me. Because you ain't going to hurt everybody else. I mean, I could have been making 50 bucks an hour, man. Everybody in there would have never made it. He had to move me to promote me. Well, this other instance, you know, and these guys got in the truck, and they'd bring cocaine and stuff, and, you know, they wouldn't ever give you none. If you bought, you know, you'd have to pay them. But they'd bring cocaine, these part-timers, and shoot, I like from snort y'all a line, baby. I'd give you some if I had some, because they tote that sheetrock, buddy. I mean, you get on some crank or something, you wound up, you got to get out and do something, you know. You just wound up, so... Anyways, I got in the truck and they broke out. They had three lines. There was three of us in there. They had three lines laid out on the bucket, you know, 5-gallon bucket one of them sat on. They said, oh, come on, man, we got to. I said, y'all going to give me some cocaine? Oh, yeah, man, we just thought you might want. I said, I don't much think Jesus is like that. I don't think. Well, we ain't going to tell him. No, he's here. I said, but y'all go ahead and do it. So I'm thinking, yeah, baby, it's going to be a light day for me. Hallelujah. That fish will get cranked up. And they tell you, just stay in the truck. Don't come off, you know. But anyhow, they went on, did their cocaine. I said, I'm not going to tell on y'all, you know, do what you want to. Praise the Lord. But you know what? I felt like that day, I felt like, glory to God, God is really real. I was able really to turn that down. You know, I was really able to do that, and so it caused me to glorify God. Well, it wasn't too long after that. I mean, I began to see miracles. God wanted me to tell you this stuff. I'm not just telling you my story. I'm telling you this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, this one that redeemed us from the curse of the law of sin and death, this one that redeemed us and caused the blessing to come on us is real, and he will work for anybody that'll work his word. Praise God, and I mean learn how to praise him like she was talking about in the storm. I mean, it's easy to praise him when you're headed to Hilltop and you got plenty of money. Praise God, but you know, it's a little bit more challenge when you can't even pay your refrigerator bill from wherever you got it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But that's when you praise him. You praise him in the storms of life because he's faithful to his word. His word is working in your life and in you, whether you feel like it or not. Paul said, the word is working mightily in me. Give me that Romans. I think I want Romans. Now give me John 13. I got to close here in a minute. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's pretty deep. We got to love. We need to love. We don't have to. But if we want this blessing and we want the commanded blessing, he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. You also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, because you have love for one another. Now, why would the enemy try to bring schism in this church? Galatians 5:6 says, faith works by love. See, the love command, love is the curtain rod that all the gifts, success, promotions, everything hangs on. That is why the Satan has tried to get me mad at everybody from 2002 till now. And he ain't never worked. I've been pretty upset before. You know, but I've never let my love not work. I've always repented and told the Lord, I realize, God, that everything in my life hangs on love, loving you and loving my neighbor as myself. That is why God deals with unforgiveness, and it ain't fair, and I wasn't raised right, and my parents did this, and so-and-so did that, and all of that. See, those are real issues that happens real in real life, but this word trumps it, and God's love trumps it, and forgiveness is more powerful than anger and resentment and holding grudges and all that. I was marching on the road just now praying for the service, before the service, for 10 or 15 minutes. And I began to think about some of the anger issues that I had, to the point to where I pulled a shotgun up in the face of a guy, you know. It's a wonder I didn't shoot him. It would have took his head off, you know. But it was just a great big warning. And that thought come to me. I cast it out. Lord said, that's not the devil. He said, I'm just telling you, look what you're doing right now. He said, you're walking this street right now praying for all those folk that's fixing to come in. He said, and you got rid of all of that anger and crossed those bridges and prayed for 6 months for one guy to get unforgiveness out of your heart. I prayed 6 months every day. For 6 months, because that was trying to destroy me, and I knew that Jesus, that the Lord said, forgive so your heavenly Father can forgive you. And I knew that was trying to stop me from moving on in God, moving on into the things that Deuteronomy 28 that I've been believing for, and to have a good marriage and have a good life, praise God. You know, I could have quit any time. I mean, Satan told me, if you had somebody that wasn't as hard talking as Teresa, you know, and blah, 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 you know. I mean, he would tell me that, and I'd see somebody that had just laid like Sandy. I mean, she got rough with the devil up here Sunday. Did you see that? I'm mad at him, mad. And I'm like, whoa, glory to God, yeah. That's the right one to get mad at. Hallelujah. She'll start praying, I'll just back you up, man. That's the right one to get mad at. You know, see somebody like Sandy, she just sweet, give everybody, you know, let's go to the skating rink, you know, take the kid, let's do this and that. And bring us in on her great ideas that we didn't want. Praise the Lord. But you know, you can't let the devil lie to you. I mean, praise God. And I would come back and I'd say, nope, I remember, glory to God, what God put together, let no man put asunder, praise God. And you know, went on there for several years. She'd come in there, I want a divorce. I said, well, get you one. I'm not paying for it. I thought I paid for one while I was lost. I borrowed the money, paid for divorce, and we got back together. I borrowed it from my boss. And my boss wasn't going to say, well, you know, I understand, man. You don't owe me. I borrowed it. Went and paid the lawyer. Called the lawyer. No, you ain't getting it back. I'm representing you. I said, well, I don't need you. And he said, well, that's not my problem. So I thought, man, that ain't going to never happen to me. I get born again, and I'm like, she says, I want a divorce. You know, heat of the moment, you say stuff. If you in anger and angry and right on the edge where you just cocked all the time, just waiting for the right thing to go off, you know. If you just ride on the edge, he gonna pull your trigger all the time. He gonna do it, you know. So I just told her, I said, well, I can get you one. I said, I'm not giving you one. I hate divorce. God hates divorce, and I hate divorce, and me and him ain't into doing that. So if you want a divorce, get you a divorce, and I'm not ever giving you one. And you know what? If she ever was to divorce me, she won't. Because me and her know that we put together by the Lord, and we got a destiny in God, and that's the way all of y'all are, praise God. And you're going to fight the good fight, and you're going to hang in there, and you're going to do what it takes to get there. Even if you have to buy them some faith flowers. And she, you know, them eternal flowers, praise God, hallelujah. Now, it's better if you get her real flowers. I was just being funny with the statement, you know, with her and everything else, praise the Lord. But you know what, praise God? See, we've been redeemed from the curse, so we can't fail. I mean, if we stay in faith just like Samantha and him, I mean, Johnny, he's fasting so much. I mean, the boy nearly turned white. He's a Mexican. He come in one time, and I'm like, good Lord, I'm going to have to get him some suspenders. I didn't know nothing going on. I mean, I knew, you know, something's up, you know, but I didn't really know what. I didn't get up in his business because the less I know, the more I can help him. The less I know, the more it's easier for me to be led. Then I bring what he needs or what she needs, praise God. And I thought, man, Johnny, I'm about to get hit. I mean, two of him getting in pants now, man. You know, he getting skinny. He must have been fasting often, praise God. But you know what? I told Travis, I said, you know what? I said, you look at it. Look at Johnny. He's going through stuff. I said, you really can't tell it looking on his face and all that, you know. I said, but you see him going deeper. I said, you see him fasting. You see him getting on into church. You see him doing the things. And you know what? Look at him. Come out, man, smelling like a rose. And I don't even know all the story. Don't have to. But I'm seeing a miracle. I'm seeing the working of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then I've seen them enter into more challenges. I'm like, oh, Jesus, here they go again. Here they go again. I'm like, join the crowd, man. Here we go. But you know what? We all know together that no weapons formed against us will prosper because the blessing of Abraham is on us through Jesus Christ. So no weapons formed. I mean, I've seen Monty them want a house, couldn't get a house. I even went to the bank, tried to help them get a house, and they wouldn't let me help them get a house. I don't know if y'all knew that, but I mean, I did it. It wasn't meant for me to get them a house. It was meant for them to see their God get them a house. And so they went through, and I mean, went through trials, got discouraged, all kinds, just like all the rest of us, praise God, going through. We have to get adjusted and get our minds set and get our hearts set. And then before you know it, they're like, glory to God, we're living in our house. And then Monty needs a dozer to start changing everything. That's Monty. Monty, just leave the hill there, please. Get that boy a dozer over there. He'll have that house sitting on a little, you'll have to build steps up the dirt up there, and he'll have it cut out all the way around. Everything will be level, but you got to have a ladder to get in the house. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But you know what? Praise God. Don't let this world discourage you. Don't let the way you feel discourage you. You've been redeemed. Stop walking the love of God. The Bible says that the law, that love fulfills, it satisfies the law. And love is, remember this, love is the curtain rod to your blessings and your healing. But you've got to lay hold now. If you've got things attacking your body, I told the Lord today, I said, Lord, thank you for the anointing in my 50s. Now, whatever you are, just go ahead and praise Him and thank Him for the anointings in your 30s, 20s. Whatever you are, praise the Lord. Begin to praise Him and thank Him. That anointing is a yoke-breaking power of God. I plead the blood over my body, praise God. Because you know what? This body might be, I mean, I'm getting older and all that stuff, but I'm not going to start getting down in my knees and my back, and I'm going to keep it together through faith. Hallelujah. So don't let this world discourage you. Believe God to prosper. Believe Him to increase you. Don't try to figure it out in your mind. You just believe God, and whatever the Holy Spirit is telling you, bring in a song, start singing that song instead of how you feel, you know. I mean, I wake up sometimes, secular songs are going off in my head. The minute I wake up, I'll be like, oh, no, you ain't going to get those thoughts kicking in my head this morning, Satan. So I go in the bathroom, and I just start praising the Lord, brushing my teeth. It's the day the Lord's made. Now I'll rejoice, or I'll start singing one of our songs here. or something that I've heard on WDJC. Why? Because he's trying to get my mindset all day carnal. Just that music, singing those songs, you know. So I want to encourage you, praise God. See, you're going uphill. You're climbing the mountain. But you're not climbing on the rough side. Faith carries you over. I would tell the story about Victor. I'll tell it later. I butcher it. Keith does a good job. You ever heard him tell it? I mean, he mastered that sermon. And I tried my best, you know. I butcher it compared to him. But it sure does mean a lot to me. It sure does, praise God. All right, let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And we thank you tonight